on things. I'm not sold on Shelton at all, and I really do think, much like in 2011 when John Russell was fired and Clint Hurdle was brought in, a guy who had been to the World Series before, I am getting very close to thinking the same way about the Pirates' current situation, that they need a better manager in game situations to massage the lineup the correct way, to pick the right times, to rest guys and get hitters in. What they're doing now is underwhelming, not good enough, unacceptable. You pick. So that's really, when I'm going through the reasons for why the Pirates are four games under 500, I'm at a point where the manager and the hitting coach and the people that make up the lineup are very much at the top of my list of complaints. Then I want to know if you feel the same way at 412-928-9370. Do you think Derek Shelton is the issue? We hear him on The Fan once a week. He talked today. Here he is on expectations for him and the Pirates this year.
Expectations are different. I think we saw this as a year that we were going to step forward and be better. And, you know, and I think we've shown that to some degree. Now we need to continue to get better. I don't think it's fair to put any ceiling on it. The fact of the matter is we want to make sure that we continue to play meaningful games. To do that, we have to continue to be better. That's the bottom line. We just have to continue to be better.
Well, the places that they've shown it are in the rotation with their starting pitchers, really nowhere else. Brian Reynolds has had a monster June, and so that is a good thing. And Andrew McCutchen looks like he isn't ready for retirement, but short of that, I don't see what offensive strides they've made. They're 37-41. They're on pace to win the same number of games they won last year. That's not improving. That's standing pat. That's status quo. 412-928-9370. I promised your calls. Let's get to them. Let's go with Grant. He's first up here. Hello, Grant.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I'm just tired of Andy Haynes. I mean, what are we going to lose if we lose him? I mean, how could things get any worse? I mean, you look at the situation with Key Brian Hayes and Donnelly last year. He improved when he saw outside help. You look at Tellez. He said, I'm going to forget about whatever I've been doing. He's obviously not caring what Andy Haynes has to say. You think a guy like Reynolds or Kutch is really listening to Andy Haynes?
No.
All these guys come into spring training, they're pounding the ball. Then they come to Pittsburgh, they work with Andy Haynes every day. Everything goes below mediocre.
I don't put it much stock in preseason or spring training stats, whether they're good or bad. And so I don't look at it like these guys were excellent in March. Why didn't it translate to the regular season? But, you know, what do they have to lose by getting rid of him? It's not an expensive thing to do. He's on a one-year contract. He's not a long-term guy. It's not like you have to pay him not to work after this year. He's not making big money. I'm fairly confident it's less than $2 million. It might even be less than $1 million from what I've heard. He's been here for now going on a year and a half. So it's not like you were impulsive or did something spur of the moment or knee-jerk reaction. You tried it. It didn't work. Move on. Yankees fired their hitting coach, hired Sean Casey midseason last year. This stuff happens in baseball. It's not just hockey where that happens. It's not just the Steelers who fire their offensive coordinator midseason. If it's as hard to make trades as Derek Shelton made it sound, until you're able to make a trade, why not try to do something else to change things up? And it doesn't have to be just promoting from within. It's not like Sean Casey was working for the Yankees last year. He was working for MLB Network, for crying out loud. Here is Anthony in the car. Hello, Anthony. You're on The Fan.
Tony, I got to agree with you on a couple things. The Pirates' status quo is not good enough. Shelton needs to go and Haynes needs to go. I don't care if they promote Donnie Kelly and then bring in another hitting coach. I think Donnie Kelly's going to eventually get a shot somewhere. I think that he's learned enough under Leland and some of the guys that he's played for that he will get a shot eventually. If it's here, fine. If it's not. But here's
I'll let you make the Charrington point in a second. That's interesting.
Okay.
Because I've heard the same things where people say, Donnie Kelly's a great baseball mind. He's a manager in waiting. He's going to be a major league manager. Well, if your current manager is not showing you that he's great at the job, why wouldn't you want to tap into the guy who's working underneath him and see what he can do with an opportunity? I like that point.
I mean, I agree. And I think that because Kelly he's been under Shelton, but you got to look at who he played for.
Right, Leland.
A lot of times players that aren't great players become great managers. Same way with catchers. It seems like some reason catchers become great managers. Now, here's my problem.
Look at Alex Cora with the Astros and Red Sox. He wasn't a great player. He's a very good manager. I agree with you.
Okay. So now here's my Shelton problem. I mean, my Charrington problem. He goes out and makes these trades, and he gets 6 and 7 guys for one player. Well, guess what? The 40-man roster is only so big. You can only put so many guys on the 40-man roster. He let Matt Gorski open for the Rule 5 draft last year. The guy is sitting down at AAA, and you can't tell me that guy can't come up and play right field. I don't care if you put him at first base. The guy has 14 homers, 40 RBIs. He's hitting .260.
Now we're keeping Jack Sawinski on the team instead of him, who's had an abysmal year. Let me give you the answer from Shelton as to why these guys are like Gorski, why these AAA guys are not getting a shot here with the Pirates. Gonzalez did. He made the most of it. But why other guys are not?
The biggest situation that we're running into is the fact that the velocity, I'm talking about velocity of all pitches, and the ability to chase miss, if that pitcher has that, they're coming to the big league. They're getting expedited to the big league. So because of that, we're seeing such a difference than AAA pitching. I mean, even if you go back and look at 10 years, take the fastball out of it, like just the overall velocity of the fastball. But if you look at velocity of breaking ball, they're jumping up 7 and 8 miles per hour in 10 years. Everybody is chasing miss. Everybody's chasing the swing and miss. Everybody's chasing the punch out. And when those guys show that ability to do that in AAA, they're coming to the big league. So I think that's why we're seeing that disparity and gap between AAA and big league.
Yeah, so Shelton's saying that the pitching at AAA is so bad, they put very little stock in what guys are doing offensively down there. Look at Jake Lamb, who hit .400 for a month or two, about a month and a half or right around there, well over .300, never got a shot, and they stuck with Rowdy Tellez. In that situation, they ended up being right about that. Tellez has had a great June, and Lamb asked for his release, and to the best of my knowledge, no one's picked him up. So that's a win for the Pirates. But they have not had a lot of those. And when I hear Charrington talk sometimes, and I look at the moves he's made, he does remind me of Huntington too much. I feel like I've got Neil Huntington 2.0 here. I feel like they replaced the last GM with his clone. With someone exactly like him, just with a different name. And with a World Series ring, albeit. But it's such a mixed bag with him, I don't have faith in him either. We know that it's a shoestring budget. We know that you have to be really good at your job to win here. And I don't see that with Shelton or Charrington. And I get the sense that especially Shelton is really starting to tick people off. And when he goes to bat for the hitting coach and says that it's things like... Well, I'll let you hear what he said on that next. 412-928-9370. That is the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. Best caller. I have to give these tickets away, so I promise, Nelly, we'll do this next when we come back. We have to get tickets away for this concert. So best call on Shelton. Is he the issue? What is the problem plaguing the Pirates? Is it the GM? Is it the manager? Is it the hitting coach who needs to go? 412-928-9370. Plus Noah Hiles from Cincinnati at 5:30. But first, a headline.
Comes back to being positive as much as people probably don't like to hear that, because these guys know they're scuffling, and it's not for lack of work. It's not for lack of trying. I mean, if we had an effort issue, then it would be something that would be more problematic in my mind. But as long as we keep working, and then from my end, we got to figure out a way to be creative, whether it's maybe we bunt more or we safety squeeze, we hit and run, we put guys in motion. However we can find ways to create runs as well as we pitch. So just trying to find ways to win those really close games. I mean, over the past week or two, we've won, what, 2-1-0 games. We won a 3-1 game. So I think that's important, is just continuing to try to figure out little ways that we can win games.
Yeah, Derek Shelton there. I don't agree with the first part. You know, it's my job to be positive, or I'm going to be positive with these guys. You don't have to. You think every coach uses that as their stratagem or their way of getting through? Like positive reinforcement, the power of positive thinking. If it ain't working, try the opposite. Not every kid gets better in school or at sports or even when it comes to behavioral things by their parents always giving them positive feedback. You got to balance it out. It can't all be positive. I've said all along with Shelton, I think his reputation as a coach was always to be the good cop. And I think that that's extended to being a manager, because he doesn't want to change who he is. He doesn't want to change his stripes. He wants to be true to himself, which, okay, that's fine. But that's probably why you're better off as a hitting coach than you are a manager. That's probably why that's what you're best at, to be in that role. It's interesting. What they're looking for, I think, is what Shelton could supply them. They need a hitting coach. I think Shelton would make a very good hitting coach. And not, you know, have him slide over to hitting coach, demote him, and hire someone else to be the manager. That would never happen, but they would be better off with that. Arthur Smith, good offensive coordinator, not a very good head coach. Dick LeBeau, the all-time example of that in football. And then the other part of that answer about how, you know, let's play some small ball. Instead of, like, let's talk. Let's see them do that. They're not hitting and running. They're not bunting. They're horrible at stealing bases. When they got off to that great start last year, they were really good at that stuff, and that seems to have gone completely by the wayside. Here was Shelton today on The Fan saying, don't blame Andy Haynes, it's not his fault.
Our younger hitters have to progress. We're seeing, not only with the Pirates, but throughout the game, young players are struggling right now. You know, we have to continue to figure out how that translates to being better. I mean, our offense needs to be better. I mean, we're working on it. I don't honestly think it's fair to cast the blame on one single person for that.
I also don't think it's fair to blame baseball, to make it a baseball problem. Yes, hitting is down, but someone's got to be at the bottom, and that's where you are. If anything, that it's like grading on a curve. If anything, that should be for the Pirates and Andy Haynes and Derek Shelton. That should make their jobs easier. Instead of needing to score 5 runs a game, we only need to score 4. Instead of needing to score 4, we only need to score 3, especially with this pitching staff. You can get an A if you get an 85 on the test, because offense is down, and they're still one of the worst teams in baseball. Only the Marlins are worse offensively in the National League. Here is Shelton putting some of it back on their own hitters and not the coaches.
Some of it, I mean, comes on the players, too. We have to continue to make adjustments. We have to continue to work on things. It's not just the Pirates where we're seeing young hitters struggle. I know it's, you know, the conversation because we're talking about the Pirates. Throughout the league, I think we're trying to figure out why guys, when they come from AAA to the big leagues, are having issues.
Yeah, more deflecting and making it sound like it's a whole big baseball problem. I don't like those answers. 412-928-9370. I think it's great that Shelton comes on our station once a week, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with or co-sign everything he says. I'm very, very frustrated with the offensive direction of the team, and because that is his MO and his background, I'm going to have a harsher opinion of him for it. It's just like Mike Tomlin with defense. When the defense stinks, I'm even more upset because that is his baby. That is his background. That is his MO. Ed and Shaler is on The Fan. Hello, Ed.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Ed.
I got a statement to make. I'm not sure you're aware of. You probably are. But out of the 9 rubber matches that we've had, Sherrington or Shelton, I'm not sure who's making that decision, is sitting three of our best hitters at the same time. I can understand giving one of them a day off, but all three of them, the last nine rubber matches, we won one, and that was because of a 1-0 home run by Reynolds. Otherwise, we might have lost that one. They've rested Nick Gonzalez, Connor Joe when he was hitting well, and 22.
McCutcheon.
They rested all three of them the last nine.
I know. Shelton claims he has control over the lineup. I think they won two of those series against the Rockies and the Reds. The Rockies game in Colorado, guys wanted to be in the lineup because they like hitting in thin air. So the Sunday, they did not have your typical let's give three guys the day off. But, okay, I'm not going to let one misfire or one factual error ruin your entire argument. It is frustrating that they don't space it out, that it's like everyone plays the first two games and then they kind of just hope that they win the last game with pitching. And Shelton claims it's his lineup. He said that repeatedly. So you take the man at his word, it's his fault, although I do think it's heavily influenced by the front office. And I do think he wants to appease the front office because they have a big say in his future with the team. Here is Jerry in Irwin. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Pony. I got to tell you, you know, being on hold and listening to Shelton, you know, nine different times and what he's saying is almost made my head explode. Of course, he is the problem right now for this season and this moment in this season. And you said it, but I'll say it in a different way. He won't blame the hitting coach because that's all he is. That man has never filled out a lineup card for an entire season at any level of baseball. And that's why you get a guy who cannot put his three best hitters in when it's a bullpen game or make adjustments in game or do the things that it takes and build the relationships with young players to get them to play their best. And it's just outrageous. I'm tired of hearing him. He sounds like an MLB network analyst when he's talking about his own damn team. And I'm sick of it.
There was clearly on-the-job training because he had never done it before. And okay, that's fine. The team is in a rebuilding state. They almost expect or want to lose 100 games a season. But now we're in the fifth year. He should be better at it. I don't think he's appreciably better. I don't see...
He's not better at all. He's worse.
He's got
more talent and is doing less with it.
I don't disagree with that. I don't see him having improved as a manager whatsoever. Here is Troy, who's always good when he comes on with us. Hello, Troy.
Hello, Pony.
Hey,
man. How's it going?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. Hope you're living a semi-charmed life out there. So, we know Curse has followed me around a little bit, and I'm just wondering, if I were to put a name on a shirt, would it be Andy Haynes? Would it be Ben Charrington? I mean, we can't put Hunting on there, but...
That's right. You made the Canada shirt, and then he got fired.
They're first, second, and third, I blind.
Why don't you make a shirt that says fire Haynes, fire Shelton, fire Charrington, and let's see if, like Meatloaf, you can get two out of three, which isn't bad.
I'm debating if I want to get rid of Shelton or not.
Why?
Because of Charrington. I mean, Charrington has not done a good job at all.
I understand that, but at least the guy has won a World Series before, and yes, he had a big budget with the Red Sox.
That's what I was going to get to, but for what team?
Yes.
For the Red Sox.
I know.
What are they compared to the Pirates? I mean, we might as well. It's almost a different baseball league we're playing in.
Correct. I don't disagree with that. Thank you, Troy. Here is George on the fan. Hello, George.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Hey, man.
Hey, listen. You know, this league is different than it was just 10 years ago.
No doubt. It's different than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it is. And you look back, I've been a ball fan for a long time. I wasn't around in 68 when they lowered the pitcher's mound. But we're in an era now where we're basically in an offensive equivalent of 1968 when they had to lower the pitcher's mound because they were so dominating. So I'm going to say that for Shelton before I dump on him, all right?
Yeah, so but my point is we're not ripping him for the team's batting average is .245. We're not ripping him for they've hit their team OPS is .650. We're ripping him because of where within the leagues they rank.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it.
When you're 14 out of 15 or 15 out of 15, yep. Whether it's a great offensive year or a bad offensive year, that ain't good enough, man.
It's even worse in a bad offensive league. Right? So I've been watching baseball for 30 years. I used to watch a whole game, even when it was slow and boring. I would stick around and watch the Pirates bat. Now I watch the Pirates pitch, and I go to the bathroom or I go, you know, get
sure.
a beer when they're at that. I can't bear to watch it. Now, I'm going to rip, and this is almost more, and you guys have talked about it time and again, and I'm going to bury the point. Look in the minor leagues. Our development, I don't know what the hell's going on down there, but we have, look at the batting averages. Shelty says is that we can't make the transition from AAA to the bigs. We're not making the transition from college or high school into the minors. Look at our prospects down, the very few prospects that we have down in the minors, around the infield and outfield, not pitchers. These guys are doing nothing. Look at the lineups. They look just like the major league team. 180, 220. You know, Termar.
Yeah, Johnson's the best example of what you're talking
right.
about for sure.
220, right?
Yep.
We have Jason Bowen, who was, I think that's his name, who was looking real good in with the Grasshoppers. He had some power, and that's a hitter's ball field.
Yep.
Now he's up at Altoona, and he's hitting like 190. What, you know, so I'm telling you, you know, we focus a lot on salaries of players, how cheap we are. I'd like to take a look at the salaries of the guys who are doing the development. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we just have the worst development organization around, and we just can't bring people up to do the job.
All right.
Sheldy's
George, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to give you the tickets to the concert. So, Nelly, get in touch with George there, and we'll make that happen. We will keep this going. Stay where you are. We're going to add Noah Hyles into the conversation, too, from the Post-Gazette, their Pirates insider. Yeah, that is the Bucko Minute that is coming up next. And we are here until 6, then it's the leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli. More breakdown from him on the Shelton comments today. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Right now, a Nelly headline. Time for the Bucko Minute. And let's go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Pirates insider Noah Hyles. What up, Noah?
How's it going, Pony?
Not great. We got people up in arms here. It's a pitchfork and torches kind of day. Shelton's pretty much saying, Noah, that he would pretty much lay down in front of the tank to prevent Andy Haynes from getting fired. Why are they so... Why is Derek Shelton so committed to this guy as his hitting coach?
I mean, this is a organization that believes in itself. For better or for worse, they stick by the players they acquire via the draft, via trade, via free agency, and they stick by each other. And that includes the coaching staff. This is, these guys, they believe what they're doing is, in the end, in the long term, going to play out well, and they're going to continue to stick to their strategy. That's not saying that they don't adjust along the way, but they believe that this is the group that's going to get to the Pirates to the playoffs. While others might not, this is what they believe.
But by that logic, you'd never DFA a guy or make a trade because you'd feel like the guys in that clubhouse or the guys that are coaching them were good enough to win a championship, Noah.
I mean, yeah, there's been exceptions, right? Obviously, you know, they will DFA guys, they will make moves. But I think we've seen from this front office, from this organization, that they believe in what they have here. That's why, like I said, they've given guys long leashes and allow guys to play it out on the field, and that same gratitude is extended to members of the coaching staff.
Who is Haynes' biggest advocate? Is it Shelton?
Yes, it's absolutely Shelton. And that's not to say that other people in the organization doubt him. I just think that, yes, this is the guy that Derek Shelton wants on his staff.
Why is that? What's the history or the backstory with these two? Do you know what it is?
I can't say I know entirely as someone who just started covering the team this year, but I know that this is a guy, from conversations I've had, yeah, that this is the guy that Derek Shelton is heavily invested in. He he wants Andy Haynes to be his hitting coach, and he's got his back big time. So that's when you ask who's the biggest advocate, that's the answer.
Man, I would not want to die on that hill. That's me. But I guess there's no dying, because it's not like Derek Shelton has the urgency where if they finish with a losing record, he's going to get fired, right? Noah, it's not.
I don't know.
You don't know.
But, I mean, here's the thing. People can complain about Haynes, but and maybe it's justified, maybe it's not. But if you look, I mean, hitting isn't great throughout the entire organization.
I know, right, and Derek Shelton tried to make that excuse with Starkey today, but we're not like judging them for what their batting average or team OPS is, Noah. We're bashing them because of where they rank compared to the rest of baseball.
I agree. No, I'm not saying throughout all of baseball. I'm saying throughout the Pirates organization.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is a problem. You're right. We just had someone call in and say that. Like, even their prospects at the lower levels aren't hitting.
And that's not on Andy Haynes. I mean, Andy Haynes isn't teaching guys how to hit.
Well, then who sets their hitting philosophy then? Wouldn't it be the major league hitting coach or manager?
It would be, but I think it's an organizational thing where maybe they're not identifying hitting talent the right way, or maybe they have an organizational philosophy that's not being carried out and coached correctly. The point I'm trying to make is I think the flaws we're seeing offensively from the Pirates, both at the major league level and the minor league level, you can't pin them all on one guy. It's not going to come down on just one MLB hitting.
Well,
coach.
No, and maybe it wasn't all of Matt Canada's fault, but he had a big say in it and a big share of it, and that's why something had to get done last year. I wish the Pirates in this case would have the same level of intolerance or impatience and accountability. Yeah. Exactly. Especially when Shelton's also coming on the air today and saying things like, it's really hard to make a trade because there are so many buyers and so few sellers. Well, if you're going to have to wait on that because you don't want to overpay for someone, how else do you get better, Noah? You just keep doing the same thing and expecting different results?
Like I said before, they believe in the guys they have. They're going to if you read the transcripts, or if you listen to any press conference we have with Charrington, with Shelton, when we ask, you know, how does this get better, the way they start their answer is say, well, the main focus needs to be internally. They point to what they have already before they even begin to speak about the idea of adding externally.
And all right, I'm happy that you brought that. I'm happy that you brought that up, because how do you take what Bob Nutting said last week and apply that to what you're talking about? And how does that change maybe what you think the Pirates' course of action is here moving forward?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much Nutting really has as far as, you know, involvement in decisions that are making. I think he just goes to his employees and says, I want a winning baseball team. Here's the budget to make that happen. And that might be a bigger budget now because he's seen the pitching be as good as it has been. But I think there are conversations being had with Nutting, Charrington, Travis Williams. I mean, Nutting said this, where they're all, you know, developing this strategy, and I think he might want them to be a little bit more aggressive. But I think that at the same time, he is kind of a hands-off guy in the sense where he's like, I got to let my general manager make the moves that he feels are best. And sometimes that means waiting in Charrington's case. So I don't know. I mean, Charrington has been a patient guy from the very start. If you look at it, I mean, he held patient with Steens and this whole development thing here, getting him on that timeline to the big leagues. He's been patient with some guys like Telez, who have come around a little bit at the plate as of late. He's been patient with other guys like Davis and Sawinski this season, who haven't come around at the plate. And so I think that patience is going to be reflected on their approach to the deadline as well, where they're just going to continue to wait until they find something that's perfect for them, and then they'll act.
Noah, can you tell me with 100% confidence, if they are two games out of a wild card spot in September, but Jones and Skeens have flown past their previous high in innings pitched, can you assure me that in that situation they will not shut those two guys down?
I don't think they'll be shut down, but when you say flown past, I mean,
okay, Jared Jones' career high is 125. Let's say he's at 140 in September and they're a game out.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to look at them being used a lot different than what they're being utilized now.
Oh.
And I think part of that also might go into they might be using bullpen games at least once a series to spread their starts out. You might see them use a six-man rotation as well. They're going to get creative, and they might have the depth to be able to do that kind of stuff. But I don't see these guys going over 150, 160 innings this year.
But if their goal is to win the World Series, they have to go over those numbers this year, no?
You would think, unless if they're able to, you know, find spots and spread this out and keep going. But it's going to be an interesting dilemma. It certainly will be, because I don't see in your scenario that you just unfolded, if this team does go on a deep playoff run, I don't see how they don't go over
exactly
150 innings. Yeah.
What answer do you get from people when fans inevitably say to you, why haven't the Pirates signed Trevor Bauer? What response do you get to that question?
Like, what? I've never asked anybody within the Pirates front office that question, because I don't think it's a good question to ask personally. I don't think they need Trevor Bauer. I don't see what he would add to this organization personally.
You haven't broached any. Okay, I gotcha. All right, fair enough. So you're against it then?
I don't see what he would add. I mean, you already have a whole – I mean, Trevor Bauer also, like, you look at the velocity he's throwing on his YouTube channel in the Mexican League. He's throwing like 91 miles an hour. I don't think you're getting the Trevor Bauer that we saw in Cincinnati winning a Cy Young in 2020. That guy doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
And is it really worth adding that into the equation, all the other stuff that he would bring in? I think they have enough starting pitching where he's not that big of an asset anymore.
Okay. Thank you, Noah. Enjoy. Are you in Cincinnati at the game right now? Eating Skyline Chili? Oh, even better.
I'm in Altoona eating a Curve Burger right now. So I'll be in Atlanta, though.
All right. See you, Noah.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tony.
There you go. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 70 degrees. If you're still on hold, we'll get to you next in the Hodgepodge. And then it is the leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli. First, a timeout. Time for the Hodgepodge.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
We'll work you in here, too, between now and the end of the show when the leadoff show with Dan Zangrilli comes your way. 50-minute mark on the Fan is a couple minutes away, and it's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters. Couple things, then back to you. Last night's Game 7 did a lower rating than the Penguins and Red Wings 15 years ago. Both were 2-1 games. Both had very compelling storylines. Penguins and Red Wings, a rematch from the year before last night. Oilers coming back from down 0-3, having Connor McDavid, that kind of drama. Yet the Penguins, Red Wings did a better rating. I blame having the Stanley Cup final this late in the year. It's June 25th. People want to be outside. People are enjoying their summers. Hockey is not the NFL. It's not in the mainstream consciousness. I feel like this game did get on people's radar more than in most years, but the timing of it was not good. If this had happened in late May or early June, I bet they would have done a much bigger number, when school is still in the process of winding down and people are not fully embraced into their summer. So rating not what it should have been because of timing.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Michael Jackson died 15 years ago today. I just saw that on Twitter. Donnie asked the question, what is Michael Jackson's best song? Nelly in my headset now asking, who is Michael Jackson? No, just kidding. He knows who that is, even though he knows like no movies or actors or comedians or anything like that. Can you name even three Michael Jackson songs?
Thriller, Billie Jean, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Look at you. All very good picks, by the way, as well. I think I would go with Don't Stop Till You Get Enough as my favorite.
That's a good one.
That is all-time number one. I don't think it sold the most records or anything, but that is a catchy one. All right, back to the phones, 412-928-9370. Here is Justin in Cannonsburg. Hello, Justin.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, the Buccos are playing their own brand of money ball over here, but it's broke ball. It's broke ball. These guys, there's no wizard behind the curtain. You know, they get on the Sunday shows and they feed you what you think you want to hear, which is wrong to begin with. Shelton, Charrington. Charrington's had a good pedigree. Boston had high hopes. But listen, at the end of the day, this guy's hanging his hat on a Paul Skenes that he fell backwards into in the draft.
Well, I hold on a second. Everything you've said so far, I'm fine with. I don't agree with that last point. It was not the slam dunk move to take Skenes. In fact, most of the draft experts said that Cruz and even some of them said Langford in Florida were better prospects than him. So that was a decision that they made. Now, maybe you're saying luck. Maybe some of it was because they didn't want to deal with Scott Boras as an agent. So that made the decision to go with Skenes even easier. But I don't think, of all the things to critique the Pirates for, making the point that Skenes was like Sidney Crosby or LeBron James and anybody would have drafted him number one overall, I just disagree with.
Okay, well, that's understood. Okay, so they got the one of the two superstars. One's going to be in the field, one's going to be on the hill. So they got one of the two superstars.
Yeah, they had the number one pick in a supposedly great draft.
Exactly. Yes, and they got which at the same time they could have had it. They could have had the same thing in the field probably in terms of an impact player over the next 2 or 3 years. But the problem is when you hear these guys talk, it's like they're playing Moneyball, but they got no cards. They're talking to the city and everybody else like there's some big thing behind the curtain that we don't know about the algorithm. You don't understand what a Sunday lineup brings or somehow Gonzalez, he needs a day off or whatever the case might be. It is absolutely absurd the way they try and pull the wool over.
Well, one of the things I think they, well, one of the, thanks, Justin. One of the things I think they do is they try to excuse or explain their actions by saying everybody else does it, so that's why we do it. They do that with everything. Well, no one else in baseball can hit right now. That's why we suck at it. Everybody else in baseball gives guys days off. That's why we do it. Look at the Rays lineup on Sunday. If they can do it, why can't we do it? Well, if it's so easy, then why isn't there great parity in baseball where basically every year there's, 14 or 12 teams make the playoffs. It's 12 new teams every year. And every season we've got teams all bunched up, not just for the last wild card spot, but everyone's between like 90 wins and 90 losses every year. It's not. So that gets on my nerves. That grates at me as Zangrilli walks in. Hello, Dan.
Hi.
Did you listen to Shelton today?
Yeah, bits and pieces.
What did you think?
I mean, you get what you get and you can't get upset.
Why? I am getting upset.
I'm saying that facetiously. I mean, what did you expect to get out of it?
Well, I think Joe caught him off guard when he followed up about Haynes, and I don't think that Shelton wanted to put it back on players, but he did. Because he didn't want to blame his coach. And then he wanted to say that, well, why don't you look at the other teams in baseball? They're all dealing with this. Well, not to the extent that the Pirates are. Only like one or two other teams are. And those teams are buried in the standings, are going to be giving away their players at the deadline. You're one of like maybe two teams that are so anemic offensively and yet still find yourself in the playoff race and have to fix that problem instead of just punting on the season and living to play another day.
I think if they could fix it, they would. That's why they keep going back to the, we have to get better organically. Like what?
But somebody called in and made a good point. Getting better organically, where are they hitting at any level of their system?
It's true.
Where is it working organically anywhere? Where is there proof anywhere within their organization that this plan is a good one? Single A, double A, triple A, the big leagues. Right?
Right. I mean, I'm sitting here nodding my head for those that can't see.
And then the other thing that is interesting is like he basically poo-poos everything they do offensively at AAA. Everything, because he says the pitching there is so bad that they can't even like put stock in any offensive production that happens at the next closest level to Major League Baseball.
So, and I'm not copping out on this, but you're both right. You're right about their lack of success. He's right about the league-wide issues that a lot of folks are having.
But they're more pervasive or more acute here than they are in those other places. They're dead last in strikeouts. They look at strike three more than any team in baseball. They're second to last in OPS. Someone's got to be at the bottom. Even in a bad league, even in a class where no kid gets an A and everyone's getting C's and D's, there's going to be a couple kids that get F's, and you're one of them offensively right now.
Yeah. And how far...
And why would you die on the Andy Haynes Hill when they go year-to-year contracts with guys, It sounds like the owner is like all for something that would kickstart them or potentially give them a kick in the ass. Do they have a long history with each other? Does Shelton know Haynes from like his travels in minor league baseball? What makes him think that this guy holds like the key to unlock what they want to do offensively? I don't know, Dan.
Yeah, it's a great mystery, but I will say that you're both right. I'm not going to pile on the Pirates and Shelton while ignoring league-wide trends that are significant.
Yes, but you have piled on them.
Real.
You've said do the bare minimum offensively and you're in a playoff spot, and they are not doing anywhere close to the bare minimum. That is the definition of piling on.
But I can also...
You started the piling, and now I am just adding to it.
I can also acknowledge that Corbin Carroll sucks. Adley Rutschman, or rather Spencer Torkelson, he stinks. There's been a lot of big young stars that have gone down the crapper, along with like Sawinski and Hayes, which is really at the crux of their offensive issues. It's too young.
Well, I don't want to say Davis out either.
Correct. So those are the three guys. Like, I want to like take it more granularly and focus in on what they need to do as a small market team, and that is draft, develop, or acquire young, controllable talent and extrapolate as much value as they possibly can. Key Brian Hayes has shown he can. Jack Sawinski has shown that he can. And even Henry Davis, to an extent last year, has shown that he can. Tamar Johnson got off to a really good start when he was originally drafted. But for whatever reason, what's happened to Tamar Johnson, their best offensive prospect?
Mm-hmm.
So something has gone wrong. And where I'm going with it is, you know, to say, because it's such a nuanced argument that you want to go acquire other stuff. Well, what are you going to acquire and bring in here that's going to move the needle when you have far bigger problems, perhaps in your process, that's going to push this team over the edge? Will Larice Robert do that on his own? He's one spot in the batting order. I think that they have far greater issues than acquiring one guy that's going to be this snap of the finger magic bullet that's going to push them over the edge to be able to do everything that I've been calling for them to do.
Well, and we just had Hiles on, and he even scared me with like let's say somehow everything broke right for them. Would they allow for their two pitchers to pitch all the way through to the end of October?
The way that they're pushing them now, and they've been fairly aggressive with Jones and
Skeens. Extra innings with Skeens and Jones
this
weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not just this weekend, but, and to their credit, I'm not saying this critically. I like the fact that they're pushing them and letting them go. But maybe they're sitting on their hands because, and even though I asked Ben Chiarang this directly, and I used the term shut down in my question on Saturday afternoon, he did push back on that. He didn't want to go to shutdown. Did he dance around, you know, and maybe leave open because I use shutdown or pause in my question?
Like with Contreras that one year.
Correct. So,
and Shelton got asked about it point blank from Starkey today, and he did not come right out and say, don't worry, that's not going to happen.
Kind of like,
I don't know.
Kind of like he said, Skeens is scheduled to start in Indianapolis.
I don't know, man.
This isn't what it comes down to, Andrew. This isn't the year. This isn't the year.
Well, then when is it going to be the year? If this isn't the year, then when? Next year?
Probably, yeah. I would think that they're going to be far more aggressive next year.
Well, then, so you know what, though? If that's the case, then why don't we just shut all three pitchers down now? So we can make sure that none of them blow...
That.
Oh, hold on. But we can just make sure none of them blow out their arms.
They may do
so
that.
So we're all good with Keller, Skeens, and Jones when we really try to win it next year. Because if this ain't the year and one of them in the non-year blows out the arm, I'll tell you what, 2025 ain't going to
be
the year
either. Right.
This makes me so effing mad, dude.
You know what happened? You know what happened, Andrew? It snuck up on them. That's what happened. This snuck up on them.
Snuck up on them? It's year five.
I'm talking Skeens, Jones, Keller, all kind of coming together.
I know, and even
Bailey Falter.
I don't want to be late to your show.
No, that's fine. We have plenty of time.
But
you're good.
But here's something. Somebody brought this up, and it was a very good point. They're probably record-wise where they thought they would be, but if I went to you, you obviously do a lot of things here. If you went to our bosses and said, this is my plan to produce revenue at this radio station, mm-hmm. here's how I plan on doing it, and you brought money in, fair amount, but it went completely against what you said in that plan. I think your bosses would look at you and say, like,